I want to spend a little bit of time tonight on something that we just sort of quickly went over in the last time we studied the plagues, but it's go to Exodus 7, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent, or as we find out, a crocodile. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and he became a serpent, or a crocodile.
Is that what it says, crocodile?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
You've been here last session.
Yes.
Yeah.
We talked about
that. You would know that.
And that the crocodile was the god Set, or Satan, in Egypt.
How come nobody knows this?
We all do.
The crocodile was the symbol of the Egyptian god Set, which was Satan. He was greatly honored. He was forbidden to be killed. He was waited on in his temple at Tanis by 50 or more priests. At his death, the animal was embalmed and with great pomp buried in a sarcophagus.
And he never missed the Bible study.
He never got laid.
Okay, so listen.
Never mind. I understand.
Let's go.
Poor Ollie. I'll hit myself with a stick later on.
Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. Now, according to the Zohar and the Talmud, there were 10 sorcerers and magicians. And they represented the 10 sorceries, or the 10 wisdoms of Egypt. And they were able to do their enchantments within that range of those parameters. Remember, the magicians and sorcerers were able to duplicate 3 of the miracles. Now, but the significance is that the rod ate up those 10. Now, what does it mean spiritually to eat up the 10? You certainly aren't afraid of them. And that's why we in knowledge are what we swallow up the sorceries, the enchantments. There's nothing to be afraid of. And that's, again, we'll see this in Revelation. The 10 crowns and the 7 heads are the 10 sorceries of Egypt that are the crowns in the 7 usurpers on the land. You understand? All right. Now, a bit about these wise men and sorcerers. The wise men, it's the Hebrew word chakamim. It simply means men of learning in a subject. It's men who knew the occult arts, or the scholars. Sorcerers were the kashafim, were revealers of hidden secrets. It means to enchant or practice magic. It's what we would call scientists. The magicians were the shartoms. And they are the ones that were the interpreters of the hieroglyphic writings. Now in Egypt, the wise men, the sorcerers, are called magicians. They were the interpreters of the magic books containing the formula for all sorts of enchantments. The books belonged to Pharaoh, and no man was permitted to consult them except the priests and the wise men. Now, the question is, I want you to understand this, that 3 of the miracles were duplicated by the sorcerers. 7 of them worked. So there's obviously a power base that has limitations that is in this occult world. Now let's look at some of this. Go to 2 Timothy 3:8. 2 Timothy names the two key members, the two key people of these 10. 3 verse 8. This also know, or starting verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1.
It's right before
Titus and Hebrews, right before Hebrews. It's right after 1 Timothy.
Right after Colossians.
3 verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 9. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now the word power there is the word dunamis in the Greek. And it doesn't mean power like explosive. It means efficacy or ability. And you deny the power of God, how? By trusting your own power. You have a form of godliness, but deny his ability. Now, the question that you have to ask is who isn't in that position? Now it's going to become more and more clear, this line of, in one sense, the test is getting more and more subtle to be a believer, right? At this time, if you said you were a believer, it cost you your life. Now, you know, you just go on and do your thing, and it doesn't really affect you very much. So the test is becoming more and more subtle in that dimension. But there's something else that has to take place. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse desires, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, the idea of a silly woman here is a woman. The word means a woman that is alone without a husband, without a covering. And the implication is it's a middle-aged woman alone, without a husband, without a covering, that'll grab onto anything for security. Now, interestingly enough, in religious radio and television, the demographics of religious radio and television, over 80% of the listeners are women 49 to 64. They're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Over here it says, the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own desire shall heap to themselves teachers of considerable number, satisfying the itching of their ears. I mean, it's mind-blowing. Now, this is now we can get a little. Let's go on. Now, as Janes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Now, Janes and Jambres were the two. Were the chief priest, and Janes was the chief priest, and Jambres was the chief magician in this court. And Janes, they're the ones that, along with the other eight that were there, threw down their, they duplicated the miracles of the turning the water into blood and of bringing the frogs up were both attributed to Janes and Jambres. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I want you to see what's happening. This same process is taking place in you. Hear me. Now, as Janes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the truth. Now, the question is, the point that I want you to understand is you are the one that's with a corrupt mind and reprobate concerning the faith. It's all men. So, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs also was. Now, how was theirs manifest?
Oh, when God's power overwhelmed their power.
He swallowed up. When God's rod, when the rod of Aaron swallowed up
serpents.
So that what my point to you is, it's obvious that there was nothing to fear. There's nothing to be. There's two lessons from it. Number one is, not everything that has a sign or a wonder about it is from God.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Even if it's in God's name. And number two is that there is none of, even if that's the case, there is none of it that you should fear. By knowledge, you swallow it up. Now, what is the knowledge that swallows it up? It's only one, and that's the cross. Any miracle, most of you weren't in the charismatic movement, but some of you were. And there are the alleged 12 gifts of the Spirit, that are, you know, all the miracles and words of knowledge, and you know, let's go look at them. 1 Corinthians 12.
Being able to eat black licorice is one of them.
What?
The gift of eating black licorice. Being able to eat black licorice.
Yeah, without throwing it.
Wrapping it around your teeth so it looks like you don't have any.
Licorice or teeth?
1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spirituals, and it doesn't say gifts, it says spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God call Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now, I could talk to you about that forever. For a long time I was invited to speak at Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings. Because I'd written a book and I was on television and all that. And these are, it's an organization that was originated by Demo Shakarian, and it's a worldwide organization. It grew like wildfire in the late 60s and 70s. And it was good. I mean, it brought a lot of people to an understanding of God. But then they begin to proceed to worship the gifts more than the giver. And I used to say on the radio that when I was a child, I spake like a child, I thought as a child, and when I became a man, I quit going to Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings.
That's
and
hilarious.
I'd get all kinds of trouble.
That's hilarious.
But one of the things that they all did after I spoke, universally, wherever it was, and I spoke to these groups all over the country, and I was in one of their television shows that was networked, they'd come up to me after the meeting and say that Jesus is Lord.
You know what they'll do?
No.
Why would they do that to you?
Because this is what it says right here, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
I remember that. I remember when I was younger, I thought, you know, all my friends were, well, would we be baptized for the Holy Spirit? Well, we can say Jesus is Lord, so we must have been.
No, but what that means is, it's referenced in 1 John 4. No man can say that Jesus Christ is come in your flesh. That's what it means for him to be Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. I mean, people can mouth this kind of crap all their life, but no one can teach. Here, the test of all teaching. I'm departing a little bit, but let's go. 1 John 4. Keep your finger in there, too. 1 John 4. This is a biggie. Well, she shouldn't be so careless with him.
Really?
cutting toward myself. I should have known.
Old McPeewee had a knife.
He's carving a crocodile.
1 John 4. This is the test of all teaching. It's the test of all truth. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, the way this, the word spirit here is 1 John 4. Are you there?
No.
You're in John 4.
I was too.
1 John 4. It's the other way. It's right after Hebrews. Hebrews, James, Peter, John.
I think one night should be devoted to quizzes.
Time trials.
Time trials.
You win little premiums if you get to a certain book.
Compare the slow people with the fast people.
You find it? 1 John, 4th chapter.
See, that's why I'm getting married.
Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, the word spirit there, as I said, it's to believe not every teacher. And it's whether it's a spirit or an individual, or you believe not every spirit or teacher, but test them, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, the word many there means almost all.
Yeah, that's wild.
Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. I hear that. And understand it. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now, the Antichrist will confess that he did come in the flesh and that he will come in the flesh. Not if you want to really rake through false religion and just go through it like a dose of Epsom salts, try this test on. Will they confess that Jesus Christ is come in your flesh? They'll all confess that he did come and he will come. And all kinds of the New Wave and the New Age movement confesses that the Spirit of Christ has come. But it's Jesus Christ. And that the importance of that is he is the Word made flesh. You understand? This is critical. And then it goes on further defining it. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you, Jesus Christ, than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. They'll speak of anti-abortion rallies, they'll speak of anti-pornography, they'll speak of 50,000, you know, kill a commie for Christ, anything that's current in the time. And the world will hear them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know you the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's pretty arrogant, but it's pretty true. Now, interestingly enough, if you want to test a Bible, look at any modern translation of the Scriptures. And it will say, in verse 2, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And the reason they say that is because they try to make it understandable to the human mind. But in the Greek, in the construction of the verb, it's no question. It is come in the flesh. You are Christ in your form. And until that message permeates, everything else is nothing.
Yeah, but you say he has come and you say he will come, then that just means that you're an independent self. You think there's a third thing going on.
That's right. You think you have free will. You understand that? Okay, now what does Alice have to do? Let's go back to, and I'll show you what it has to do.
Back to what?
Back to 1 Corinthians 12. Okay. We're talking about being deceived. Now, if I were you, What I say is so radically different. If I were you, I would be damn sure that you're not, that I'm not a false teacher. I mean, in the past, we've had all kinds of, Rick used to bring the heavy guns to Bible study. He'd bring seminary professors. And Doug used to come with pages of questions. Doug's mother had me investigated by the FBI. I mean, but I admire them for doing that. I mean, you've got to make sure you are not being deceived. But I want you to feel the tension that you have to be fully persuaded in your own mind. It doesn't do any good for me to have said it to you. That's meaningless. That's like when the demon was confronted by this guy and he said, "Come out in the name of Paul." Mm-hmm. You know, and he said, "I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who in the hell are you?"
Sorry, wrong name.
That's wild, because I mean, I'm glad you said that, because you know, for the first couple of years that I heard your preaching, I could accept that, you know, and I could say, well, Ole says this, so that's good enough for me. But for some reason now it's not good enough anymore, so I really, it's like the shit hit the fan. I mean, some things bother me more now than they ever have, just because it's not enough anymore.
Man. Now, the only time anybody was commended in the scriptures was in Berea. It says, they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things be so. And what things? It's this incredible thing that Paul was saying, that Jesus Christ was in their flesh. That the cross was all that was necessary. Jesus said, all the law, all the writings, and all the prophets pointed to that. You must be fully persuaded in your own mind that I am not as Janies and Jambres. That I am not leading you astray. That I don't have some secret agenda. And I challenge you. I mean, I beg of you to contend with. I mean, and don't give me this crap about, well, you intimidate me. That doesn't cut it. If there's the slightest doubt in your mind that I'm one of these sorcerers or magicians in the spirit that's contending with the truth, and the only way there won't be any doubt in your mind is when it's fully worked out in you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if it's not fully worked out in you, you'll go through periods where I'll say something outlandish and you'll get out of here and you say, "Oh my God, I've been deceived." Let me give you some examples. If you are driving in a car and you get lost and you come upon a place and there's a guy standing there and he says, well, the way you get to where you want to go is you go, you know, 3 miles to the maple tree and then turn right. Now, what will happen to you is you'll have an instant test. If you think that he has been there, then you will believe him. Yeah. If you don't think he's been there, then you won't believe him. You'll go find a more reliable witness. Now, you're on the most incredible path, the most important path, the most critical juncture that you could be in your life, in your whole life. And the question that you have to you have to be convinced that I have been where I'm speaking. Otherwise, you won't. It won't be. It'll be meaningless. And that's what the word, where it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word of God. The word for word of God there is rhema. It means the word spoken that has been experienced by the speaker.
Amen.
But just because I speak it, you know, unless you're a fool, you shouldn't believe it. If you do, it's called sloth. And it won't do you any good anyway. I'll try to push you to the limit in every one of these arenas so that you will either go out of here with blood rushing out of your ears, or you'll be fully persuaded in your own mind. Those are the only two alternatives. This is not some philosophy that you can overlay on your own little lifetime. You know, when I talk to you about getting rid of groves and opinions and ideas, you know what? If you got rid of all opinions tonight, you wouldn't be able to find your way home. So God in His grace is allowing these images and idols and opinions to be destroyed at the rate that's necessary for you as an individual personality.
Yeah, because if all of this happened in one time, I would have gone crazy.
Well, not only, yeah, but my point is, if you didn't have any groves or high place identity, you would have not survived in the world. You would have been killed.
Well, what replaces the opinions?
Faith.
Religion.
Now, pure faith. But can you see how it's in... And that's why it says, that's why no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now, how in the hell can that be? Well, that what that means is, the reason that no man can call Jesus accursed is that you can never call someone else accursed. That's what he's saying.
I understand that all.
Yeah,
no,
Jesus calling himself.
I was thinking about that in terms of, you know, when somebody comes up to you and they're trying to explain that Jesus Christ is come, and they get all mad at you and start whacking you around, and you're still saying to them that Jesus Christ is come in them. You know, fame is come in me.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. It's always them. Do you understand? First of all, if I believe, and if I speak that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh in all men, then I cannot say to any man that you are accursed or you're going to hell.
Wow.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this means. Now the second half of it says, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord. Now the problem with English is, in Greek, when it has the article, the, it means unique, complete, total, in the unmistakable idea here is Jesus is the Lord of me. He is my life. No man can say that Jesus is my life but by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. Do you understand? No one can say that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh except by the Holy Spirit. No one can say that, no one, if he is in the Holy Spirit, can say that any man is cursed. That's why Paul says in Romans, say not even in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, for that is to bring Christ down. And say not even in your heart, who shall descend into the pit, for that is to bring Christ up, as though you could be saved by your own works. But rather say this, that the word is nigh, even in your heart. So, I mean, this is big time stuff. I mean, these are the lines of demarcation between truth and error. Do you understand the importance, or am I just?
I just wanted you to repeat that. That say not who shall descend, who shall go to the pit.
Right.
for that is to bring Christ
up from the dead, as though you could be saved by your own works. You're judging
who will go.
Who will go? Therefore, you're saying somebody else can go, but you know somebody else is right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're saying that in either case.
Well, that's
right.
But it's, I mean, when these things penetrate your being, it becomes crystalline. And your BS detector will become so acute. And the scriptures call that discernment, but I like bullshit detector. Your discernment will become so acute that you will physically feel when you're in the presence of error.
Wow. That happened at school the other day. I walked up the steps to get something to drink, and there were some guys. And it's funny because just before that, I'd seen this little ad on the chalkboard or whatever, Christian people looking for, you know, wanting to form a band. And I walked upstairs, and these guys with long hair looked like musicians, and one of them, in fact, I knew he was. And they were talking to this other guy. They were like three against one, and they were talking about, you know, theology. And for some reason, I didn't even have to ask what they were talking about. I knew. And it was like, for some reason, I wanted to get into the conversation. And I thought, why do you want to do that? You know, so I just left. It was like, I don't have to do that anymore.
Amen.
You know?
Okay, now, do you all understand this? Now, the reason for this is that is this deal with Janies and Jambries is going to get important here in a minute, because it's going to, if it were possible, even deceive the very elect, as we're going to see. Okay, let's go on. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ, etc. Now, all that the gifts of the Spirit are, it's simply Jesus doing stuff. But the key to it is that Jesus no longer does stuff as a isolated self. Jesus does stuff by a body. Therefore, the sense of this whole chapter is that if any man tells you he has the gift of healing, run from him. If any man tells you he has the gift of the word of wisdom or knowledge or any of these gifts, run from them. They are given to the body at the moment of their need. They're not something that becomes a showcase for, you know, some spiritual Barnum and Bailey show.
Ooh.
Watch me use my gift.
Now, I'm serious. I mean, every one of these gifts has operated in me many, many times. Especially when I first became a believer. The instant I became a believer, I was speaking in tongues. I mean, I thought everybody did.
But you couldn't get what you wanted at restaurants.
Oh, man. Is that why you always got your English muffin a little too underdone, a little overdone?
But the thing that happened was that everybody I prayed for was healed. I mean, wild, wild things.
Was that a temptation in a way?
Yeah, it was a temptation for me, and it was tempting, because all kinds of people were having me going, you know, wanting me to come and speak, and going to speaking tours, and be an evangelist, and all that. I mean, I won't bore you with all the details, but there were many, many instances where people, one woman that was, you know, she was, her liver had stopped functioning, she was 2 hours from death, certain death. I laid my hands on her and she was healed. I mean, right before their eyes at Parkland Hospital. Mm-hmm. On and on and on and on. Now, the reason that happened was because that you have to be tested
You have to have... We've talked about this before. You're never going to be tested with something you don't have. You're only tested with something you possess. And the test is always and ever to empty yourself. So if any gifts come forth, they're automatically given back up, given out. Everybody understand that?
So it's not like if Matt prays for someone and someone's healed, that doesn't mean that from now on Matt is the one who has the gift of healing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you first started talking about this a minute ago, I thought, oh, all he's talking about offices in the body.
Yeah.
I mean, that just speaks so loudly of how I see that.
Yeah.
How anybody sees it, I guess.
Okay, now, let's go back to we're not going to do that. We're going to do something different. Okay, the miracles that the magicians performed, they turned the rods to serpents, they turned the water to blood, and they brought up frogs. Okay, the point of it is that Satan can perform many miracles, but is limited in power. But he does it, and many men are deceived. Now let's look. Let's go to Matthew 24. Now some of this sounds totally strange to the rational Western mind. But I guarantee the rational Western mind will be the first one to crack when these start appearing. They'll be the ones that are the most easily led astray. The greater the skeptic, the easier. You know, I'll really scare you now. I used to be a hypnotist. And I studied hypnosis since I was 11 years old. And the greatest, the best bet is the person that says they can't be hypnotized. I mean, that's the ones you get.
How come you became a hypnotist when you were 11?
I don't want to talk about that.
I bet I know.
Had something to do with
same
that.
Reason I wanted X-ray vision.
Same reason what?
I wanted X-ray vision.
Okay, go to Matthew 24, verse 23.
You don't want X-ray vision. You want to see all those organs.
No.
Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's the silliest thing in the world.
What's secret chambers?
Well, there's some, it's secret place, you know. There's all kinds of this
Christ
going
is
on.
Yeah.
Like Christ is in the house.
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of this going on.
He's in the third house.
How so?
Right.
Sure.
Like, when you were reading that, I was thinking, well, I haven't heard about people saying, you know, Christ, he's like over in, you know, Great Britain or something.
Yeah, he's in London.
He's over in
London. There's a full page ad in the January 24th issue of USA Today that proclaims that Christ's incarnation has come and he is in London waiting for his...
In the Indian section of London.
Waiting for the right moment of revelation.
You're kidding.
They'll read about
them more. And there'll be more.
Right, USA Today?
Okay, let's go.
You know what else is a flash on this? Is that Catholics only cross themselves when they're going past Catholic churches because God's only there?
Yeah. 2 Thessalonians. None of you can find that one, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's right. 1 Thessalonians.
It's so hard to find.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse.
Just before Timothy.
It's only the Ians. The ones that, I hear.
2 Thessalonians chapter.
Ians.
Chapter 2. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not in the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, now let's go to Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And remember I told you why you don't like scary movies? Why you didn't like The Alien? Alien 2?
Yeah,
Aliens.
Aliens? Because I identified too much with it?
No, because I told you that was a picture of you.
See, when you told me that, it sounded good, but I don't know if I was convinced or not.
Okay, well listen.
Then go back and see the rest of the
book. I did. Oh.
And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death.
And I rooted for me.
That's the head that was killed at the cross of all men. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. That's what all the world is wondering after the revelation of the isolated self. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they don't know they are, but in worshiping self, as long as self is satisfied, as long as self is worshiped, Satan is satisfied. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given for him unto him to continue 42 months. Remember the significance of the 42 months. 3.5 years. And I mean, it's the symbolic point in time from the time of the baptism to the time of the cross. It's finished at the baptism, but it looks like it isn't in time and space. We've been in the spiritual 42 months ever since the cross. Understand? And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. That's all men do. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. It's all people. All people were under the control. And that's why Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Name me one person on the face of the earth that isn't worshiping the beast. The only ones that aren't worshiping the beast are the ones whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the world. Hopefully that's you. You're no longer worshiping or giving breath or importance to self. You see the vanity of self-worship. You've taken it to the cross. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints.
What does that mean, patience and the faith of the saints?
It means the inexorability. Is that a word?
Yeah.
It means the inexorability of this process. It's either finished or you're in that group. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause them that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Now, it should be, it's the number of man. And his number is 666. Now, the mark in your hand and the mark in your forehead is you've already got the mark. It's the whore's forehead. And it's cause and effect. You have to earn a living. You have to do this to cause this to happen. It's the antithesis of grace. So every man is born with the mark in his forehead and his hand. The only way that mark is removed is when it's replaced by the mark of God, which is the cross. In Ezekiel 9. Okay? You understand? Now the reason I'm saying this is that don't be deceived if you see some joker coming around and doing some miracles. Your role is to swallow those suckers up. As they hadn't, don't be afraid of them. Just okay. One more. Revelation 16. Verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of his false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Well, as you know, that the relationship of the frogs to one of the seven plagues in Hebrew. I think I'm losing some of you.
Is this referring to the 2,000-year reign that they talk about?
1,000-year reign.
1,000-year reign. I don't even know anything about it.
The millennium? No, we're not going to study the millennium tonight. It's as false as everything else is.
Well, yeah, but you know, the reason I was curious is because I'm talking to some people like my aunt, my mother. They say the spirit of Jesus is coming, but he's not in your flesh, but he will come during the 1,000-year reign.
Well, no, that's the whole, he's going to come and there's going to be a rapture and they're going to take up all the Christians and they're going to go hide someplace for 7 years. And then after 7 years, they're going to all come back down again. Then the earth is going to be made real nice and everything's going to be happy and Jesus is going to be king of the whole earth and ride around on a white horse.
I've heard about that.
Thank you.
It appeals to the
when the clock strikes midnight.
Spouting ice cream.
It's a flame.
I don't understand verse 15 at all. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame.
Okay. What are the garments? What's the only garment that's the garment is? Let's go to Revelation 20, 19. I mean. Start verse 6. Read 6, 7, and 8.
Oh. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
Okay. The question is, what is the righteousness of saints? What is the right wedding garment? And it's defined throughout the scriptures. There's a parable in Matthew 22. The only righteousness is his righteousness. As long as you retain any of your own, then you come in with the wrong garment on, and they'll see your nakedness.
So it's faith.
Yeah, but it's faith in terms of nothing of you, all of him. It's what we do every night when they take the afkomen.
Total surrender.
Total surrender. Okay? Now, well, that's enough about it. I just want you to see the tie-in between this enchantments and this secret wisdom and the magicians. These were heavy-duty guys. I mean, they weren't some caricature. Mm-hmm. The arts that Egypt knew in terms of mystical arts, they're still searching for. Now, one of the reasons that many of the tombs and the pyramids were raided wasn't for the gold in the early years, it was to find these ancient holy books.
And the power was in the word, is that what it was?
Like, well,
the words that were spoken?
I believe the power was in demons, but that's another story.
But he means how did they process that?
Meaning if you said the right words.
You know, if you worship the right thing, if you believe the right thing, then you became a vessel, a vehicle for that particular demon.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about, like, today, the people who say, if you say it, then
you name the demon.
Hmm?
In Revelation 16:14, it said demons doing miracles.
Yeah. It's like there's some that believe that. Well, anyway, I don't want to get into all that tonight. Let's go on. Let's go back to Exodus.
Jackie's finger still there.
No, she probably moved. Okay, Exodus 8. Let's start in verse 7. Well, 6. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. I mean, they did it immediately. So now they've had blood.
Snakes?
I mean, they've had the blood, the eating the serpents, and now the frogs. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord." Now, this is the same with all men, as we've talked about. When something goes wrong, you pray. When it's resolved, your heart is hardened again. And that process continues all the way through in the same manner as these plagues did. Every plague, Pharaoh made a deal. You know, okay, I'll let you go. Do this and I'll let you go. And then God cleaned it up. The next thing that happened, he hardened his heart again. Now, you think that Pharaoh is some kind of fool. I mean, if I saw 97-pound hailstones falling down, I would, or frogs coming up all over, the river turning to blood. Well, it's God hardening Pharaoh's heart. Just as it was God hardening your heart to push you to the limit so that you are fully tested in each one of those arenas until you come to the one plague, which is the death of the firstborn. The death of the firstborn, you're the firstborn.
Amen. Then you're ready to leave Egypt.
Then you're ready to leave Egypt. So even your obstinacy while you're in Egypt is God doing it. You know, I'm sure all of you have prayed, "Oh God, take care of this. I'll do it. You know, I'll go to church the rest of my life.
I'll never ask for anything again.
I'll never drink again."
You would be that foolish.
Yeah, that's. God, if you just stop making me go around in a circle, I'll never drink again in my life.
You basically holding on to the porcelain island.
But I know better than that now.
I think if you make the house come back together again, I'll never use drugs again.
Yeah. Get me off the ceiling and I'll never drop acid again, Lord.
Make my heart stop beating and I won't use it. Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, no.
Not
completely.
I can't
breathe
slow, my heart.
That's right. Words. I need the right words.
But, yeah. You need the right enchantment.
I'm going to get enchantment. Mm-hmm.
But my point to you is that this is the process. It's inexorable. You can't go around and condemn people for doing that.
No.
We can laugh at them. Because you've been there. But your heart is hardened every moment until the death of the firstborn via the cross. And then you're automatically gone from Egypt. You cannot worship God in Egypt. You cannot worship God while your heart is in the world. It's impossible.
What happened to Pharaoh?
Huh? He got buried. He got buried in the water, just like you do in baptism. That's what the meaning of baptism is. He and his armies, we'll see that clearly in a minute, but he and his armies were chasing Israel across, and Israel went across then dry land, just as in you, when you're baptized, the real you doesn't even get wet.
Right.
Yeah. But Pharaoh gets dunked.
It's like John's
killed.
Song.
Yeah.
Song yeah. I was thinking when you're talking about all
hand
this.
Me, yeah, like, hand me one of those books. Hand me a songbook behind you.
The more we study about this, the more we study about it, everything, nothing is optional, the less you can judge, the more stupid you are if you judge people because you see that it's not optional.
Right. The only ones you judge. The only ones that you not only judge, you have a exhortation to expose are the false prophets.
If it's true, as we learned the other night, that we've never made a choice in our lives, then how in the hell can we judge anybody else if they're not making choices?
That's right.
I think laughing is okay, though.
Yeah. Jesting.
I think laughing is okay.
Vain jangling.
Keeps us from taking things too serious.
Again, let me, there's a story about... It was a king that had a small little kingdom, and they had some very strict laws. And one of them was that it was in the desert, and you had to provide water for travelers. If you had a well on your property, you had to make it open to anybody that traveled by. And so there was two blind men were walking across the desert, and this guy's overseer was standing next to the well. And the two blind men, they had a sense that water was somewhere, but they walked and walked and walked, and they both fell into the water and they died. And so the king held a court to decide who was responsible. Was it the landowner for building an unsafe well? No, he'd just done what the law said. Was it the blind men for being blind? No, they couldn't help that they were blind. Who he held responsible for was the man who was standing there next to the well and didn't warn the two blind men that they were about to fall into the well.
You're saying we're the guy standing next to the well.
That's right. If you believe what this stuff is about, if you believe, you will speak. Are you raising your finger, or is it?
It can't go down.
I've been thinking about that a lot lately, about all the times that I've spoken. And
you bet it was in the middle finger, right?
And then something happens. Either I say too much, I say something I'm not really sure of, and then somebody calls me on it. And there I am looking stupid, or not having scriptural proof.
Praise God.
I've just gotten to the point lately where I don't speak out of duty. It's not like duty.
No, you can't. The process is, again, is inexorable. When it's worked out in you, you'll speak it. When it's not worked out in you, you won't speak it.
Or you'll speak and it won't make any difference.
Right. Okay, this is after we'd studied Passover for, 5 years, John wrote this song that most of you have heard, but I'm going to read it anyway. I'm not going to sing it. First came desire with the unknown name, tired of the slavery and the pain. I knew I was stirring to be free, and the ground of the battle would be me. Next came the seizing of my heart. I resisted the squeezing from the start. Struggled and sank underneath the flood, as my river of life turned into blood. Still I cried, "You gotta let me go," and still my pride responded, "No." Oh, the exodus that set me free had to leave me underneath the sea. A plague of frogs wrecked my success, and the lice took all my strength of flesh. A swarm of flies defiled my prayer, and the dust of my idols filled the air. I awoke in pain from boils and sores, surprised that I didn't seem sick before. I covered myself, "It'll pass today," but a rain of hail swept that away. The locust ate all that I held, but my self-seeking could not be quelled. Endless darkness seemed my fate. Blind and deaf, I could only hate. All my hopes and plans and dreams died outside my door, it seems. And as I finally stepped into the sea, old Pharaoh was still hanging on to me. Still I cried, "You gotta let me go," and still my pride responded, "No." But in the exodus that set me free, the Pharaoh who drowned looked a lot like me.
Jesus left.
But can you understand how there can't be any religion in the world? You can't worship God in the world. And that's what, I mean, modern Christianity, while all these 97-pound hailstones are coming down and frogs are all over, they'd be passing out bumper stickers.
Yeah.
Or starting a new television show or something.
Or selling the hailstones.
You understand? I mean, you got to leave. That's the essence of Christianity, is leaving the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. The battlefield is here. You can no longer give anything in the world breath, importance. Okay, I don't feel like talking anymore.
I've never seen that before, how the Israelites are a type of Christ in when they're leaving, and in Pharaoh, it's a type of flesh, and like they're one, and Pharaoh dies.
You never saw that before?
Hmm?
You never saw that before?
No.
You never celebrated Passover?
Yes, I did. Twice.
Well, I did.
The first one was a dumb one.
Oh, yeah, we really had a dumb one. You were at the first one? We had the second one with the clouds and the rain and the angels screaming. We had the world's wildest storm on the Passover night.
That's right, we sure did.
Where was this?
Lake Whitney.
A shelter without windows.
And we had to put those thingies up, blankets or stuff up there, on the screen shelters. And it was you know, like it did the other night over your house.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. And it was blowing and raining and thundering and wind blowing. And then we reached the part where you take the break before the afghan, and the rain had stopped, and it was a full moon, and the clouds had broken, and it was still. Oh God, it was just freaking.
That's special.
It was the first real Passover that we've done. When was that? 78.
76 or 77.
No, 78.
78?
It was spring of 78, because you left when? You left in August of 78.
I left right after my birthday. Because I got a little, you gave me a little knife.
I was in high school being up here. You was a little shit. You guys were.
I lost the toothpick and the tweezers.
You would pass it. It's bizarre. How could you have done it without me?
Fortunately, does anybody have anything edifying to say?
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.
Yeah.